Good morning, church. Good morning. Who here is happy to be at church today? Woo! That's right. Oh, I'm so glad to be here with you guys today. And I just want us to all get ready to stand and welcome in the worship. And as we're worshiping today, I kind of just want you to think about, like last week we had a word on the alabaster oil and how it was poured out on Jesus. And so if I want you guys to think about, what are those things that are your oil? What are the things that are going to cost you to pour out at his feet and to lay it down on him? And so just, and get ready just to lay those things out in this worship service today in Jesus' name. comfortable, but I'm just feeling that we are breaking through something today. I don't know about you guys, but I've had one heck of a week. And so I just really feel that we're telling the Lord, like, hey, you came and you did this and you're mighty and da-da-da. But I want us to lay our oil down on his feet and just begin to bathe on him, like bathe his feet in us and the things that we want to just lay at his feet. So I want you guys to step out of your seat. Come forward, because it costs something. It does not feel comfortable, but the Lord is not about comfort, guys. He really isn't, especially if you want that breakthrough that you're asking for. How badly do you want that breakthrough? I want to see, how badly do you want that breakthrough? Okay, it's not just standing there and just kind of whispering under your tongue. Let's come out here and shout it out from the top of our lungs and just let it out. I'm just challenging you today, because there is something happening, you guys.
matter what our circumstances look like, no matter what life has dealt us, no matter what we have cost our own selves, Lord, by getting involved in things we shouldn't, Lord, that we know that you are greater than any circumstance we face, and that we can allow praise to be on our lips. We can allow our hearts to worship you no matter what it looks like, no matter what the scenery looks like, no matter what our environment is saying, Lord, we can choose to worship you, Lord. We can choose to put our praise on our lips, Lord, and worship you. We can lift our voices, Lord, when there seems to be no one listening, just you, Lord. And we can come into that place of intimacy and closeness and forget everything else that's going on. So we choose today, Lord, to let your praise be on our lips. Lord, we worship you today in spirit and in truth. Help us understand that truth of what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. We just release right now the perfect will of God, Lord, over every life that's here, every life that's listening. Lord, that your perfect plan, your purposes, Lord, your design for their lives would be fulfilled, Lord. You are our Father. We were orphaned once, Lord, and you have placed us, Lord, in the family of God. You have made us children of the living God. You have made us sons and daughters of the King of the Most High. And we receive that now in Jesus' name, the reality of that into our lives afresh and anew today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Good morning, family. Good to see you all. Hallelujah. There will be children's over in room 107. That's just right down that hall there. If someone wants to take their kids in there, Nancy's going to be watching them. So praise the Lord. And I have a praise report. Last week, we had a real amazing prayer session here. I'm sure Eric might allude to it. But we are rejoicing because, and you haven't heard yet, Cindy was majorly touched this morning. Yeah. Praise God. She responded really well to just waking up and experiencing all of life. Roger said a miracle has happened. So praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go ahead and pray for Yakima and pray for our country. Father, we just lift up this city to you into your capable hands right now. Lord, we just ask that you would allow your purposes and your plans to be fulfilled in Yakima. Lord, that every life, Lord, would come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, that every heart would be able to receive the living word of God, Lord. Lord, we pray right now that you would be working in the hearts of people, Lord, preparing the soil for the seed that is coming, the seed that has been cast already. Lord, we pray for every church, Lord, that calls you by name. Lord, we pray for revival in those churches. We pray for an awakening in those churches. Lord, we pray for a deeper level of love to be experienced in those churches. In our church, Lord, let love be the main factor, Lord. Let love be our secret ingredient, God. Let love be what marks us, Lord, as your believers in this place. And Lord, right now, we just ask that you would touch our nation. Lord, it seems that from the outside looking in, Lord, it looks like it's chaos, Lord, in Washington, D.C. and other places. But Lord, we know that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So Father, right now, we just release grace over Washington, D.C. We release grace over the Congress and the Senate. We release grace over the Supreme Court. We release grace over the White House and every administration official, Lord. We just release the grace of God, the purposes of God, and the plans of God. And we just thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in lives, even though we may not see it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Check, check, check. Amen, amen. I'll remind you guys that you guys can give if you want to give online. We have our offering box over here. But if you'd like to give, you go to onelifefamilyworship.org. And there's a donations tab, and feel free to give there if you want. How many happy people do I have in the room today? A few. So good. Yeah, like Pastor Mike said, last Sunday we had a few students from Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. It's a school that Nancy and I went to back in 2012. And, you know, I heard they were coming and just felt like we need a little piece of that in our church. However, well, before I say that, it was a really powerful weekend. Who got blessed by last week and that was here? It was amazing. They brought something that was pivotal for, not just for our church, but I think for our city. I don't know if you guys know this, but that church is a church of 11,000 people. It's essentially a mega church, you know, has a worldwide reach, and they get invited to go everywhere. And they came to Yakima, Washington, the first mission trip for Bethel to send to Yakima, Washington, and they got to come to our church. And so there is something significant about that happening in our city. However, we don't need a church from Redding, California to come to bless our church. I want them to come back, believe you me, and hopefully they will next year. But what I want to emphasize today is that it's about the presence of God. It's not about the presence of a few, you know, radical students that come. Like, that's easy for them. That's easy. They are in a school that for 9 months, they are, you know, surrounded by other fiery people just like them from all over the world. Like, how many of you guys know it's super easy to feel like you're hot when you're surrounded by flames? The struggle is how do I feel on fire when it's cold outside? How do I feel on fire when, you know, I'm struggling through my job, or I'm struggling through my marriage, or I'm struggling through relationships, or I'm struggling financially? That is the question of how do I feel on fire then? And so, although I love that we had, you know, fiery people come in last week and preach and bless us and lead worship, I also want us to recognize that we have the ability to tap into a resource called Jesus, tap into his presence and say, that's great. Thank you, Lord, for using people from Redding, California, from all over the world to come and bless our church. However, how do I do that now? Because they get to go back to Redding and worship at Bethel. I still have to live here. I still have to drive a FedEx truck. I still have to, you know, be in the marriage I am in, and not that my marriage is great, okay? But I still have to do all those things, right? And so how do I get that? And the simple answer is this, you guys. It's about his presence. His presence. Let me say this. I would much rather be anywhere else than here if his presence isn't here. I'm not interested in coming to church just to come to church. I'm not interested in just coming in and filling a seat and singing some songs and taking some notes and going home and be like, great, can't wait to do it next week. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm interested in his presence. And so when we're here, we get the opportunity to step into his presence. But not only that, we get the opportunity to take that with us and bring it into our week. It's not just a Sunday thing. Gaylene said it perfectly a month ago or so. It's about between the Sundays. That's the game time. This is equipping time. This time right here is how do I get more of God? How do I, you know, give me some teachings. Give me some, you know, tell me what the Word of God is saying. Interpret that for me. But the game is tomorrow when you wake up. The game is the next work meeting you have where you have to sit next to that coworker that just rubs you the wrong way. The game is when you walk into a messy home and you're frustrated and stressed out. That's the game. That's when you get to say, God, I want to tap into your presence right now. Amen. God has it here for us. I said it last Sunday that I felt like he was laying out a banquet table for his children. I don't know if you guys have ever been to like a buffet. How many of you guys love a good buffet, right? Where they have, there's chicken over here and there's Chinese food over here and there's a little bit of Mexican food over here. And then the dessert, oh Lord, the dessert. That's what I'm waiting for. I want the sundae and I want the cheesecake and I grab, you know, three of everything and don't eat hardly any of it. But the point is like, hey, I paid my money. I get to waste as much food as I want. Okay. But I felt like, and I continue to feel like that is what the Lord is. He's like, I lay out a buffet for my children. Every Sunday, every day, I lay out a banquet table. Here, what do you want? Yes. You want some peace? Great. Here's some peace. Actually, take a little bit more of that. You want some patience? Great. Take some more. You want some joy? Some of you need an extra dose of joy. Take some more of that. And it's all free. Yes. It's all free. Yes, Tara. It's all free. There's nothing that we can do or will do that's going to get us closer to the banquet table. Because he invites everybody, every single person, anybody you can think of, they're invited to the banquet table. From the person that's sitting up here, sitting in this church today, to the person that's standing on the corner asking for money, you know, to the gang member downtown, to the doctor in Memorial, like it's all here for the taking for free. And so at the banquet, so what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for as children? Like he's invited us. We struggle. The church has struggled for a long time to feel worthy. We have this mindset of like, I'm not worthy, right? I'm like a dirty car. And so I need to, at home, hose myself off before I go to the car wash. What? Why would we do that? What a waste of time. God is saying, no, come to me as you are. Now, here's the message that many of you may have heard going to this church or any other church, is that there's this message that we like to say in church, come as you are. Come as you are, right? That's biblical. Come as you are. Unfortunately, in the church for a long time, what we've said is come as you are and we'll accept you as you are, as long as 6 months down the road, you're willing to change who you are. As long as you're willing to go to that class, that discipleship class, that's going to get you away from who you are. When Jesus is saying, no, come as you are. Does he want you to stay in your mess? Absolutely not. Does he want you to stay in your sin? No, he doesn't. But what he truly means is come as you are. And if it takes you 6 months, it takes you a year, it takes you a decade to get past and get your breakthrough, he's okay with that. He's okay with timing. I said this on Monday at a youth group. Some of you may have experienced, if you are in the Hispanic culture or have experienced the Hispanic culture, is their clocks run a little bit different than normal people, right? Zeke, you say party's at 3:00. Don't show up at 3:00. They're not even set up. Food's not done. Okay. You better show up at 4:30, 5:00. That's when the party's kicking. That's when people are showing up. All right. Jesus doesn't operate on Mexican time, is what I'm trying to say. His timing is perfect, okay? And so it's not about, am I worthy enough? Because it doesn't matter, because he's worthy. It's not about what I can do, because he's done it all. It's not about what I can finish, because he finished it. He finished it, amen? Come on, there's this, I have this thing, don't I? Turn it on again. I am. All right. We're going to read this story in Exodus. This is a story of Moses, and he's with the children of Israel. And just some backstory. Most of us have heard this story, right? Where Moses goes and, or God calls Moses to free the children of Israel. So he does it, right? And then he's in the wilderness with them for a long time. And a lot of what they do is just complain and moan, et cetera, et cetera. And right before what we're about to read now, Moses was on the mountain talking to God, and the people, the children of Israel, the people that he brought out of Egypt with the power of God and split the Red Sea and all that stuff, were like, "Where is this guy? He's left us here to die." And they tell Aaron, we need something to worship. And so they make a golden calf and they worship the golden calf. And I don't know how Moses did it, because I would have just been like, yeah, God, yeah, just kill them all. Let's start over, okay? Because they saw the miracle of God. They saw him move. They literally saw it with their eyes. They walked through the Red Sea with water on both sides, and we don't even know what that looks like. We have pictures of what that looks like, you know, through movies and stuff, but we have no idea what it looks like. But they saw a miraculous, like that alone would have been like, yes, walking through the Red Sea with fish and whales and all this stuff, and I could just like put my hand in the water, and then I get to see all the enemies that were coming after me die because they're trying to go through the Red Sea and God closes it. Like, that would have been enough for me. Like, Moses, I'll follow you anywhere, because where you go, miracles happen. Where you go, Red Sea's part. Where you go, manna comes down from the sky. Where you go, I want to be where you are. But they were dumb. I don't know why they didn't. So that all happens. Moses comes down and he has the Ten Commandments and he slams them down on the ground, and he does a lot of weird stuff. He gets the golden calf and he boils it down and he makes them drink it. And yeah, parenting advice from Moses, I wouldn't take it. Okay. So here we are in Exodus 33. And it says this, 33:1-3, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way.'" God is saying, you're going to get your promised land, but you're going to get your promised land without me. You're going to get your promised land, but I'm not going to be there. So, because these people, they obviously don't get it. And even though I've done everything to set them free, they don't get it. We jump to verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." If your presence is not there, I don't want anything to do with it. Here's the sad thing. Here's the reality of the church today. Not this church. This isn't directed at any one church. Church as a whole, capital C church. A lot of Christians are satisfied with coming to a Sunday service without the presence of God. As long as they have the children's ministry, as long as they have the cafe, as long as they greet me at the door. God forbid I don't get said hello to for a few weeks. Is the presence there though? And people will stay at a church for years and years and years and not ever be transformed, not ever change, staying in their stuff. And you'll meet them and you'll say, "Well, I thought you were, you know, we're obviously on a journey, but I thought you had been going to church. I thought you'd been going to your small group, et cetera, et cetera." And you're like, "Yeah, I have." It's like, well, what's the point? If we're not encountering his presence, then why do it? Why are we here? What are we doing? What is this Christian walk without the presence of God? And Moses was saying, "I get it. I get the promised land is there, flowing with milk and honey, and that's amazing. But if you're not there, I don't want to be there. If you're not there, I don't want anything to do with it. If your presence is not with us, God, don't send me. I'd rather stay in the wilderness with your presence than go into the promised land without your presence." Church, we have to grasp this concept of what does it look like in my personal life? What does it look like outside of a Sunday service? What does it look like outside of a preaching from Pastor Mike, outside of a small group, to tap into his presence? What does that look like? You know, COVID sucked. It sucked that it shut everything down, and especially that it shut churches down. But the one thing I'm grateful for of what it did is I felt like it showed people where their faith was, where their faith was. It showed them, oh, I don't get to go to church this Sunday or for the next 100 Sundays. How do I still worship the Lord in that place? How do I still tap into who he is? How do I still hear his voice? How do I still read my word? And I think a lot of people realize my faith is a little bit in Jesus and a lot of it in a man up front on a pulpit. My faith is a little bit in Jesus and a lot of it in them singing the pretty songs on Sunday morning. My faith is a little bit in what I know about the Bible and a lot of it about what the guy up front tells me about the Bible. And I think that it was good for people to have that confrontation in their face of, well, how do I get into his presence? How do I do that? And I think some of us are still asking that question. And I stand up here not having all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But what I do, the answer I do have is without his presence in our faith, without those two things married together, there is no power. And yes, we'll go to heaven, and that's great. But I'm not just interested in going to heaven. I'm interested in bringing heaven to earth. I'm interested in bringing heaven to my health. I'm interested in bringing heaven to my family. Yes, it's going to be great and glorious in heaven when I get to praise the Lord for eternity. But on this earth, I only have 80, hopefully 90, maybe 110 years speaking into existence, okay? Who knows? But I only have so much time where I get to bring heaven to earth. And the same goes for us. We only have so much time to say, God, I want your presence here in this place. I don't want to go to church unless God is here. And here's the thing, you know, we're small in numbers, and that's okay, because big church doesn't mean big presence. Mega church doesn't mean mega presence. I've been in small groups with five people where I felt the presence of God in that place more than I have in a big church service, more than I have in a big conference. How do we get to a place where we desire to be with him? How do we get to the place where we say, I see this, the greatness and the breakthrough over there, but God, if you're not there, I don't want to be there. I'll do anything to get in your presence. When me and my wife started dating, we'll be celebrating dating, being together 17 years this fall. 17 years. She's blessed. I blessed her for 17 years. And we've been married 15 years this summer. But when we started dating, you know, she lived out in Tyton with her parents, who still live out in Tyton. It's about a half hour drive from here. If you haven't been out there, that's okay. There's not a lot to see out there. Tim and Vicky are out there. You can go see them. And so it's a half hour drive. We started dating. And at the time, I worked a job where I worked split shift. And my job started at 3:30. I think it was 3:30 to 6:30. And then I had like a 2-hour break. And then I went back to work until 11:30. So that was my job. Nancy worked at a grocery store out there. And she worked, I don't know when she started, but when she ended, it was like 2:30. I would drive the half hour, pick her up from work, 2:30, go to her house, hang out for half an hour, turn around, come to work, work my 4 hours, go back to Titan for my 2-hour break, which is a half hour there, hang out for an hour, turn around. Like, it was insane. Things we do for love. Thankfully, it all worked out and it was all worth it. The point is, though, is that, what was it? It was her presence. I just wanted to be around her presence. I wasn't satisfied. I could have went home. I could have called her on the phone. We could have talked, but I wasn't satisfied with just a phone call. I wanted to be around her. I wanted to feel her. I wanted us to be together, to sit next to her. I was willing to go to any lengths to do that. I was willing to sacrifice that time. How do we get to the place where we're like, Lord, I don't care what it looks like, but I'm going to sacrifice my time. I'm going to get up a little earlier. I'm gonna sit, you know, take a drive when I get off of work, and I'm gonna drive for a little bit longer just so I can pray and be in your presence. I'm gonna work, like Nancy said it. It does take sacrifice. During Sunday, I'm gonna not just come and hopefully something from somebody else splatters on me and I get a little bit of presence, but I'm actually going to go after what his presence is in my life. And maybe it looks a little bit different. Maybe it looks a little bit scary. Maybe it looks a little bit. You guys, you know, God is not interested in your comfort. He's so not interested in your comfort. He could care less about your comfort. If you read the Bible, so many people, God was saying, hey, you regular person, I'm going to call you to do something great. We talk about Moses. He said, Moses, you're this murderous man, this man who felt like an orphan, who didn't know who he was, who had no identity essentially. And God said, I'm going to call you to save my people. Moses said, me? Yes, you. That's us. God's not looking at, he's not looking at your qualifications. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And you're each and every one of you are called to his presence, called to what God has for you. He's not afraid of the discomfort. You guys, we got to become friends with the uncomfortable. Yeah. We have to become friends with it. Discomfort does not mean God's not there. Now, believe me, I hate being uncomfortable. I'll do anything, most things, if I'm uncomfortable, I'm going to step out of that. Like, you know, a few months ago, we did, now I know that my skin is brown, my last name's Lopez, but mild hot sauce is where I draw the line, okay? That's it. My wife, my very white wife, she'll eat the hottest of the hot, okay? Papa T, hot sauce all day. They'll drink the stuff. They're crazy. A few months ago, we did this with my sister and her husband. He brought a bunch of hot sauces over, and we're eating them. And I mean, we're sweating. And I was just like, I am done. And my mom like brought cups of milk, and they're all my wife and my brother-in-law being stubborn. Like, no, I'm not going to drink the milk. I'm like, give me all of the milk. Pour it on my face. I'm done. I do not want to be uncomfortable. And a lot of us can do that where we will get uncomfortable and we're saying, oh, that's not God. I feel uncomfortable, so that's not God. Oh, I feel out of my comfort zone. God would never make me feel uncomfortable. Oh, I don't feel safe, so I don't know. God's only safe. He only does safe things. Right? It's the song is not Reckless Love. It's, oh, the overwhelming, never ending, super safe, padded room, helmet wearing, knee pads and elbow pads, love of God. No, it's the overwhelming, reckless love of God. It's scary sometimes. It's about risk. That's what faith, that's how you spell faith, is risk. R-I-S-K is risk. God, what does it look like for me? What does it look like for your son, for your daughters to take risks with you and to tap into your presence and become a little bit uncomfortable? You guys know Jesus made his disciples feel so uncomfortable all the time. He preached, drink my blood, eat my flesh. And then he didn't explain anything. Like, if Pastor Mike started saying something crazy and he didn't explain it, be like, hey, right here, what did you mean? Explain it. Because I'm scared right now. What you're saying is scary. Like, if I was a follower of Jesus at that time, be like, hey, no. Shh, you guys, he didn't mean that. Everybody stay, sit down. No, he didn't mean that. It's a metaphor. He's talking about a cracker and some grape juice. That he didn't mean that. But he didn't explain it. Because he's not afraid of discomfort. And there are many times Jesus did things that felt crazy or sounded crazy. And I think it was because he was weeding out the people to see, do you really mean what you mean? Yeah. Because I don't just want you in your comfortable state. I want all of you. I want you in your discomfort. I want to make you uncomfortable because I want to see how real this faith is to you.
Break you, make you.
Come on. Break you, make you. Jesus is, yes, he's loving, he's tender, and there is that side of him. But Jesus also is not afraid to make us uncomfortable. And when we come to church and we hear people singing and we see things that feel weird, he's not afraid of the weird. Jesus is weird. Okay? Sorry if that offends you. I'm not sorry that offends you, because the fact of it is, you know, weird means supernatural. Jesus is weird, and he's not afraid to bring weird to your life if it's going to bring you through to your breakthrough. If you want to see breakthrough in your life, if you want to see things break off of your life, if you want to lay things down, Jesus is then going to come in and say, okay, great, let's get a little bit weird then. Maybe it looks like you singing a little louder. Maybe it looks like you yelling at the top of your lungs. Maybe it looks like you just doing some weird stuff with Jesus. How bad do you want it? There's this prophecy that we got a prophetic word last week. And I feel pressed to tell the church this. We got a prophetic word last week from one of the BSSM students. And she came to me and she reminded me of a story. And I wish I had all the information in front of me, but there was something called the Welsh Revival, okay, that happened in the 1900s, early 1900s. You guys, this revival is the reason why we do church the way we do church. And what happened was, is that thousands of people came to know the Lord. And there was a man in Los Angeles that heard about it, somehow through the grapevine, heard about it. And then these two men in that they met, and then that revival sparked something in L.A., which now is why we, again, why the church is who we are today, why we worship the way we do today, why we talk about God the way we do today. But anyhow, there was this lady who was at the temple, one of the temples that part of the revival started to happen at. And this was in recent days, in sometime in the early 2000s. And she felt like God tell her, I want you to go to this temple, to this church, and I want you to say, wakey, wakey. Wakey, wakey. That's something you say to your kids. Wakey, wakey. You don't say that to a church and to God. And this is a busy place. He said, I want you to go to this place, and I want you to say, wakey, wakey. I want you to say wakey, wakey to this revival that has since passed, and say, wake up. So she goes, and she goes, wakey, wakey. And then God speaks to her. He said, is that how bad you want it? And there are people all around. And she screams out, wakey, wakey. And that's weird. But if we're not willing to get weird with God, then how bad do we really want his presence? How bad do we really want our breakthrough? How bad do we really want to see him? God, I don't want to go there if you're not there. How bad do we really want that? How bad do we really want his presence? And I believe that word, she gave that word for our church. Some of you remember this church, not that this church isn't vibrant, because it is. At one time, though, when I began coming to this church in 2005, this church was full of people that were just worshiping the Lord. And I believe we were seeing revival happen in a major, major way. And I believe our church needs a wakey, wakey moment. Again, I'm not interested in big church, because big church doesn't mean big presence. I'm interested in big hearts going after the Lord. Even if it stays like this, as long as we're going after the Lord, that's fine. But I do believe that we have a place in this city. We have a place for this time right now. It's not about the big church down the road. It's not about, BSSM students come. It's about what God is doing in this house right now, in each of you individually. Each and every one of you is revival. You guys carry revival in you. What does that mean? Revival means something was dead and now it's alive. I'm bringing revival to this thing. I'm bringing revival to my family. I'm bringing revival to my workplace, to my schools. I'm bringing revival to my city. I would encourage you Anytime you're downtown or anytime you're just driving through the city, it doesn't have to be downtown, but driving through the city, that you would just take a second. Tell the students all this all the time, 60 seconds, and just begin praying for our city. Just begin releasing. Jesus, I just release you in this place. And I believe we're going to begin to see stuff happen. There's already stuff happening. We just might not be hearing about it. But I believe that we're going to begin to start hearing about, wow, things are changing. Crime rates are going down. The homeless population is getting taken care of. Those people are getting loved and taken care of. Families are getting restored. Prodigals are coming back home. I believe all of that can happen if we're willing to step in to what he has for us. Are you guys ready for wakey, wakey moments? Okay. I'm going to have the worship team come back up, and we're going to end in worship. But also what I want to do is that I want us to pray for one another. And I just want you to, I want you to be brave. I want you to be courageous. You need prayer. I want you up here, and we're going to pray for you. We're going to release stuff over you. And that might be the biggest risk that maybe you've taken in a long time, is just coming up front, and that's okay. But not about anybody else in this room, but you and the Lord. And he wants to see his children set free. He wants his children to experience his presence. He wants his children to encounter who he is, not just have the knowledge, okay? Revelation is one thing. Encounter is a whole nother thing. We know God is real. We have that head knowledge. We know the Bible is real and true. We have the head knowledge. That's great. There's a lot of amazing people that have the head knowledge that God is real, the Bible is real, church is good, small group good, Pastor Mike's tall. We all have that head knowledge, okay? But it's not revelation. It does not true revelation. It's not a true encounter until it goes from here to here, until it takes that 18-inch journey, until it comes right here, and then we encounter the Lord. Amen? So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I just invite you to come up. If you want prayer for anything in your life, I invite you to come up to the altar, and we'll pray for you. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you have a mighty, mighty plan for each and every one of your children. God, we thank you, Lord, that we are going to see revival in our city and revival in our lives, that each and every one of us is going to experience in a real, authentic, and true revival in our lives. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're not afraid. You're not afraid to make us uncomfortable. You're not afraid to get us feeling a little bit awkward. You're not afraid of our discomfort. Because you're more concerned, Lord. You're more concerned about our breakthrough. You're more concerned about our hearts, your children's hearts. And we just worship you today, Jesus. We worship you today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that it's only your presence that calms storms. It's only your presence that makes blind eyes see and deaf ears hear and the lame walk. It's only your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Now, why don't we stand as we get ready to worship? And again, if you need prayer, come up and we'll pray for you.
Can I say something? Katie, can you and your fiance come up and let us pray over you? You guys are beginning a new journey. And the name of our church is One Life Family Worship. And so you guys are going to be starting a journey into your own family. And so I think it'd be good if people got to bless you and pray over you both. Thank you.
something on your heart that you feel like you want to share or that you need prayer for, I just encourage you to come up and don't hold back.